And now, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned. Right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Travis was so scared.
Nima.
Okay.
The fiends were scared because we were not around. They thought we got droned.
Yeah. Oh, boo-hoo. We needed government to save us.
No, they didn't. So, Bitcoin's at $90. So, I want to call this episode, Tyranny's Just the Symptom. The disease is stupidity.
Stupidity.
I'm thinking about it a lot. You know, like, I'm constantly... I would be a really happy person if it weren't for all the things that the world does to me. And a lot of it is tyranny, but really it's not tyranny. It's the state, which is not even the government. It's the horizontal enforcement of everyone, as the people say, as Ben Quaker says, the people. Ben is the people.
All right, so slow down for a little bit. I'm going to play devil's advocate. What the world does to you. So liberals will be like, what do they do that's so bad to you? Like, why do you think that they're tyrannizing you?
Okay, I am slapping that liberal in the face with a trout and saying, you are stupid, and that's the problem.
But why? Why? Why am I so stupid, Michael? What do you think that I'm doing that hurts you so much? I mean,
well, for one thing, voting.
Just talk it out.
Voting, man. Voting. Whenever you vote, you're taking something away from somebody. Either rights or money or something, you know?
What if I voted that took something away from you, man? I don't get it.
Then what have you done that's taking stuff away from me?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, man.
I mean, right now, let's see. My city council's trying to ban smoking in public. My governor is trying to
What about my right to not smell your smoke in public?
You shouldn't go where I smoke, man. The market will take care of it. The magic of the market. You know, you have two restaurants next door to each other. One is smoking, one is non-smoking. You go to the non-smoking one, I'll go to the smoking one.
But what if my favorite chicken fried tofu is at the one that has smoking? Then what am I going
to
do?
You don't have a right to chicken fried tofu. And more likely, the chicken fried tofu is going to be at the non-smoking one. And the big bloody steak is going to be at the smoking one.
Whatever, man. Whatever, man. I don't care.
I don't know. You're asking me to use logic with people who can't comprehend logic.
They can't.
Yeah,
they
stupidity, can't. Man. Stupidity is... And it ties into a bunch of stuff we've talked about. One is people who are experts in things that are wrong. One is the thing that Ben just did a podcast on that I wrote a book about 4 or 5 years ago about, using the 12 steps to get away from stupidity. 12 step, the thing we talked with Bill Buprit about, that they need a 12 step program for statism. But see, I think you don't need that for statism, because I think once you're all the way, I guess you could have one to get minarchist to anarchist or to zero gov, as we say.
Well, you really do, because what the second step is you have to admit that your life has become unmanageable. The state is unmanageable. The system is unmanageable. Once you admit that, then you realize that the state is a solution for nothing, because it is completely unmanageable. And I waffle back and forth between, are they stupid or are they evil? But I think you're right that it's the stupid people that enable the evil people.
Well, and I mean, that idea of political ponderology, that 7% of people or 6% of people are sociopathic and 15% of people want to follow sociopaths, and that, you know, big minority of 21-22% of the people destroy it for everyone else, fits in with this too, because the 6% are evil and the 15% are stupid.
Yeah. Well, and with this whole gay marriage thing, it's like that asking the wrong question thing. And I think everybody's so stupid to buy into the paradigm or the dichotomy. And I saw this quote from Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor that blew me away. And it doesn't seem like anybody's really commented on what she really means here. But yesterday in the New York Times on the front page, they had her picture. And the headline was, "Justices say time may be wrong for ruling on gay marriage." And what Mrs. Sotomayor says is... she questions, how does it create an injury to them separate from that of every other taxpayer to have laws enforced? So what she's really saying there is that laws hurt everybody. Deal with it, fags. That's basically what she's saying.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, everybody, all of the right-winger teabaggers paint her as, you know, the lesbian, left-handed Lithuanian rights, you know, you'd think she'd be like, gay marriage, of course, you know.
Well, it's really interesting because I don't know what her angle is, because her other quotes have been to the effect of, well, if we let everybody be free to gay marry, then they'll be free to have polygamy and have incest among adults. And now those are all things that are consensual. And so what she's asking is, you know, is it okay to have consensual adults do what they want? And I'm assuming, I don't know what her answer is, because I feel like she's there. She gets the concept of universal rights and allowing consenting adults to do whatever they want. But she's sitting there on the Supreme Court as arbitrator of all that. So that to me, I can't tell if she's stupid or evil. Is it the power of sitting there in that dress, that robe? Or is it that she's too stupid to realize that it's the government in the way that's keeping everybody from having universal rights?
I don't know, man. I don't pay attention to those people anymore. I really don't.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line between being politically aware and not being sucked in by stupidity. And the stupidity will bury you, man. I mean, I think it's more harmful than the laws. I mean, people can circumvent the three laws a day, three laws a second that they add pretty well. But you just can't get away from the stupidity, man.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I don't know. In some ways you can. Especially you, because you've gotten off of Facebook. Pretty much the only people you talk to are fiends and
yep.
fiend friendlies. So, I mean, you told me the other day the only place you go is Walmart. And
it's full of stupid
Walmart,
people, too, but I don't talk to them.
And yeah, exactly.
And they keep to themselves. People shopping keep to themselves here more than they do in California. In California, like, people come over to you and say, oh, you shouldn't buy that bacon. You should buy this tofu bacon. Seriously. Like, really? No one has ever come up to me and tried to influence my shopping, except maybe once or twice. Like, hey, would you like to try our new tofu turkey antelope bits? You know, like someone who works there. But
is there tofu venison and tofu antelope nowadays?
I don't know, man.
I'd be willing to try that. So, yeah, I don't know. I deal with stupidity all the time, though, and I guess what really hurts me is the stupidity you can't do anything about, because the stupidity is institutionalized, just like the violence that's institutionalized.
You know, somebody posted an NPR, of all people, an NPR article on the fiends Facebook the other day. I was spying on Facebook, and it was a really interesting article, and it was about the disability industrial complex. That's the term they used, and it was basically you know, Bill Clinton signed this law that he said was going to end welfare as we know it and put everybody back to work. And basically what's happened since then is more people are on food stamps, less people are on welfare, and way more people are on disability. And actually most states have panels set up, not panels, but social workers set up whose job is to get you off welfare and get you on disability, like to find a disability. Uh-huh. So it goes from the state
right.
to the federal money.
Oh, yeah. It's completely awful. I know somebody in my personal life who I would very much say she is not disabled through any thing that's not her own fault. She's just kind of lazy and doesn't like to do things, and I think she brings on her own, she's kind of agoraphobic, I think she says, like she doesn't like to be out anywhere with people. And
people could say that
do,
people could say that of me, but I'm not afraid. I'll go anywhere. I just don't like to.
Well, you set up this thing where you enable people who say, well, you know, I just really don't like to have a job. I can't hold down a job because it's too easy for me to call in sick all the time. Well, you know, you wouldn't have that situation if you had to work to eat. You know, you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah.
It reminds me of The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, where people had to become hardy because if you didn't, you'd die. You know, because you're on the freaking moon. And you have a system where all this lady had to do was pretty much send in an application. It was just paperwork. Like, nobody visited her. Nobody talked to her. She just sent in an application, said what her problem was, and a week later she gets paid, you know, a decent amount, you know, enough to live off of, to just sit there and do nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Sit there on her phone all day, playing Bejeweled or whatever.
Disability is generally 2/3 of what you made at a job. You know, if you've paid into Social Security a lot and have worked a lot, and then suddenly you're like, I'm a recovering drug addict. I can't work because I need to do my steps and it would harm me. yeah, it's like 2/3 up to a certain amount, like, you know, up to, I mean, they won't pay a CEO 2/3 of what he made, but, you know, people that make regular wages and good wages and below regular wages, they get about 2/3 of what they made when they're paying into Social Security.
Wow. Wow. But then again, they don't have all that, you know, there are added costs for working. You know, you have to pay for gas and commuting and work clothes and going to lunch and all those kinds of things. So,
yeah.
And plus you get to not work, you know, you get to sit there and do nothing. I mean, I think it's obscene that you get paid that much to do nothing, especially because you're getting paid that much off of the backs of everybody else. You know, you're the reason why when I go buy something, I have to have a big chunk of that purchase money going to the government. You know,
I'm not the reason.
Well, that lady. And
I was on
like
food
her.
Stamps once for like 4 months in San Francisco. And yeah, it was kind of my fault. It was kind of the state's fault. It was kind of, you know, I couldn't do what I used to do because the government got in the way. And I was on food stamps for 4 months. And I actually had to pay it all back before we could get a mortgage and buy this house. Like, we went to buy a house and, you know, it said, oh, you don't have the credit to do this because you have an outstanding debt to the county of San Francisco. And I contacted him and I paid back the food stamps in cash and then, you know, got it cleared and then we were able to buy a house. So the only government teat I've ever sucked on, I paid back.
Well, you know, purists would say, well, you drive on the roads.
I don't, though, and, I don't though.
Oh, yeah, you don't.
I ride my bicycle on the sidewalk.
Yeah, yeah. So back to stupidity is the problem, and government or the state is the symptom. Okay, so if we grant that premise, what causes the stupidity? Why are people stupid? Because, you know, we like to appeal, as anarchists, at least, a lot of people like to appeal to natural law. Would you say this stupidity that enables the state is unnatural, or is it in the nature of human beings?
Yeah, man, the state likes to denature things. I guess there must be something in the nature of human beings, so I guess that'd be contradictory to say. I guess democracy is unnatural because democracy is enabling the people who are flawed and have the birth defect of statism and the desire to follow it to lord over the majority of people who don't. And I mean, I think a majority of people have stupidity, but a lot of them, if you sit down to them and talk to them for 10 minutes, the cracks start to, you know, they start to chip away at it. It's the people who will defend the state like they're defending their mother that will never change. And those are the, you know, the 12% or the 14%, whatever, that enable statism.
Right, right. But that also could be a symptom of cognitive dissonance or a reaction to the cognitive dissonance of the fact that their whole livelihood is based on the state system. Like the lady who gets her disability check or, you know, the people who are cops or government workers whose whole whose nice house and nice cars are all dependent on the status quo.
Yeah.
Like when you interviewed Molyneux and you were talking about your garbage man, and if he starts to get one thing in his head that would universalize the non-aggression principle, then he has to look back on his whole life and his family too and realize that he's been doing or he's been enabling moral wrongs his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is actually like really right-wing gun guy, you know, Tea Party. But he's pro-union because he's in a union and he's getting $40 an hour to pick up trash or something like that. I don't know. Probably not that much, but he's getting perks. And the big thing is the pensions. I mean, basically, government workers retire somewhere between, I don't know, 25 if they have a disability and like 40, you know, 62 at the latest and get pretty much almost their paycheck for the rest of their life.
Right, right. And that's a huge motivator for a lot of state, and by state I mean government employees. You know, a lot of them are just filling space, just rent seekers sitting in a chair so that they can get that pension. That is so important. And that's why when you talk to cops, you know, that's a lot of their motivation. And you'll talk to a lot of them, and they've been there decades and decades, and they don't seem passionate about it at all, but they want to stick, they want to stick with it so that they can go buy a boat and do nothing all day on their pension.
Yeah.
Or get their pension and then get a consulting job with another law enforcement agency and have double income.
Yeah, and I guess that saying, you know, I mean, it's I'm basically having a single issue explanation for what's wrong with the world. And I'm always wary of people who do. Like, I remember in college, I wrote a term paper that got an A+, basically stating that the biggest problem in the world is overpopulation, and that governments should have, you know, first they should try education campaigns, and then they should try forced sterilization. I mean, I actually believe that. Ugh. And my you know, state paid teacher gave me an A+
patted you on
it.
The back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I basically said the only problem with the world is overpopulation, and if we solve that, everything would be fine. And that's not true at all. I mean, there is room and resources for all the people in the world. Governments get in the way of them being distributed fairly, I would say, or even, you know, in a way that's useful. But and let's see. So there's another guy, Wilhelm Reich, the Austrian sex researcher. He basically said every human malady from, you know, stub toes to world wars is the real result of sexually repressing children. There's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that think the Republicans are the only thing that's wrong with America, that if we got rid of them, everything would be great. And there's a lot of people who think...
Or corporations.
Corporations.
You know, South Park lampoons that. Yeah, corporations, man. They'll act all corporate in their corporation buildings.
Yeah, and I'm really wary of anybody who has that. And even like Stefan Molyneux, who I have great respect for, he seems to say, you know, that like bad parenting is the result, is the problem with everything in the world. And I really say I have a single issue explanation for what's wrong with the world. It's people not knowing and adhering to the non-aggression principle. But I think that that's, like most people who have a single issue explanation for all the ills in the world, I think mine is the only right one. But it makes sense that ours is the only right one, because that's the one that affects all the other ones. That's the one that, it's a weird, like, it's non-politics, and non-politics doesn't make sense to people who see everything as politics. You know, basically saying... No, the problem is you can't fix it by pointing guns at things. You can't fix it with more laws. You're only causing violence with more laws. I mean, I was watching The Daily Show last night, and he was complaining about, he was showing clips of the Republicans, you know, blocking Congress and making jokes about how, like, you know, about making butt jokes, basically saying, like, Congress, things can't flow through Congress, and Congress is constipated. And I'm like, I mean, people actually think that. They think if Congress isn't writing more laws, the world is a bad place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's really silly to me, because all politics is, I mean, in government class in college, you know, my first government, like intro to government class, we learned that the definition of government, or politics at least, was who gets what when. But the getting part is really nothing more than stealing. So it's who steals what from whom when. That's all politics boils down to, is who's stealing what, and who is getting the stolen money, and who's getting this money stolen from them.
Mango says, I'm the anti-Chris Matthews. I was an NWO-er, New World Order Illuminati-er, then I grew up. So
yeah, man.
I guess, go ahead.
So is it because what you're trying to push for is deeper, is what you're saying? Is it's not trying to decide who steals what when, but it's tackling the root? You know, that's why it's radical, because the root is the stealing, the root of all our problems.
Yeah. Yeah. We're, you know, our single issue solution, boy, that sounds like something Hitler would come up with. Our single issue solution is the only thing that doesn't involve hurting people.
Ah, okay. But the liberal, or even maybe the lefty anarchy, would say, well, property is hurting people, and property is theft, and saying non-aggression. Well, then you would have violence in the streets, Michael, if you didn't have cops. You
know, man.
People bring that up all the time.
You have more violence in the street with cops. And, you know, I think if they got rid of all the laws tomorrow, there'd be a slight increase in violence for a day or three, but I think water seeks its own level, and I think it would fix itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, okay, so delivering pizzas, right? I have, on wood, never been robbed. I've never been cheated. I've had people be really stupid and write constantly in a $12 tip and then give it as a $2 tip, or tell me to look at the door for the apartment number but not tell me which apartment number they live in.
Yeah.
And all sorts of silly stuff. Stupidity, yes, but not aggression. But I have I've gotten pulled over 5 times in the 5 months, or maybe 6 times in the 5 months that I've been delivering pizzas again at night. And one time I've been pulled out of my car and placed in handcuffs. And twice the cop wrote me a ticket for offenses that are, you know, one's $150, the other's like $200-something. Silly stuff that I do all day long that doesn't hurt anybody, not one bit. And you know, that's a day or two's productivity right there. So
yeah,
it is the cops that are the violent ones. That is violent to me, right? It is violent when you turn on your lights and there's two of you and one of you is standing at the right. You're men with guns and the threat of using them for me if I don't do what you tell me to do. And what you're telling me to do is to go to this courthouse with your human shields, because that's what the clerks at the courthouse are, is they are human shields. Go there and submit your money to this judge.
Explain the human shields.
Well, so I was at the courthouse the other day, and some guy was complaining about how unjust this was. And after he'd left, the clerks were like making fun of him and laughing. They're like, "Oh, we just work here. You know, we don't know anything. Your beef is with the state. You know, your beef is with the city. Tell the city to do such and such.
Call your government."
Yeah, yeah. But they're the ones collecting the money. They're the ones that are the public facing of the state or the courthouse. Like with the my silliness of getting my car up to inspection with buying the little plastic to cover the lady parts of my seatbelt input. There's no single person that you can find that you can direct your grievance to. Honest people have no recourse.
It's set up that way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's why I call them human shields now. They're just doing their job. They're just the front facing. They, you know, there's nothing you can do. If you convince them that you were right, there's still nothing they can do about it.
Yeah. There's a really cogent point in Guns and Weed that's made by an interviewee who's in there for like one soundbite, and it's that couple that owns the medical marijuana soda company. And she says, you know, I have a friend who called me and said, you know, my mother is dying of cancer, and you know, at this point when this happened, you know, medical pot was not legal in Colorado. And she's like, what do you tell a friend like that? Do you say, write your congressman?
Yeah.
Or do you break the law and help her? You know, I mean, you write your congressman, by the time something gets done, your mother's going to have been dead for 15 or 20 years, you know?
Right. Or that thing that was going viral a couple of weeks ago with where the lady was dying and the 911 dispatcher was like, give her welfare or give her CPR.
Welfare.
Give her welfare.
It's
yeah.
The opposite
that's
of welfare.
The solution. No, the 911 dispatcher was like, give her welfare. She was talking to a nurse at the nursing home, and the nurse was like, it's against company policy. I can't do that. And the lady died. Because of fear, out of fear that she would do something against policy. Policy's created because of litigiousness and out of fear that they could get sued and have, you know, the state courts force them to pay some money.
I think that violates the Hippocratic Oath too, which nurses do take. I don't know if what's the lower level of nurses, the ones that are like social AIDS, workers that can do CPR.
Yeah.
I don't know if they take the Hippocratic Oath, but full-blown nurses, like doctors, take the do no harm and, you know, preserve life oath. So I guess the state supersedes something that's, you know, thousand or more years old that has always seemed to make sense to me, the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's the real supremacy clause in the concept of the state, right?
Yeah.
Not in the Constitution, but in the people's minds, the state or the status quo supersedes any human feelings or compassion or empathy.
Yeah. So I guess I'm done with that. The state is stupid. People are stupid. A lot of people are stupid. I mean, the stupidity is just unimaginable and unable to be cataloged. You can't keep up with it. It's so stupid. And a lot of people just go, well, he deserved to get his door kicked in. He shouldn't have had that marijuana. I don't know,
right,
man.
Right. Well, and the stupidity of the people who are considered our masters and our betters, the lawmakers. That's what they call them. That's what they call those people sitting in that swamp in D.C. They call them lawmakers. They're senators and congressmen. In Ben Stone's interview of Scott Horton, which, you know, those are my two favorite non-me and Michael Liberty fellas, and they were making fun of this, and, you know, and this is stuff I think we've talked about too. The lady, Maxine Walters or Waters or whatever, saying,
oh,
you know,
she's horrid.
Waters. Yeah. We could lose 170 million jobs with the sequestration. There's not that many jobs.
Yeah.
Not that many jobs in the country.
Yeah. I mean,
she has to know nothing about anything. And Ben brought up the point of the congressman who I guess him and Kai have laughed about before, of wondering if Guam is going to tip over if we put too many, I guess, tanks on it, you know, like an island just floats on the water or something.
Yeah. And these are the people that run your lives. And, you know, they're not all that stupid. They're not all George Bush. Obama, you know, I would say that George Bush basically surrounded himself with his buddies to give him money and power. And Obama is more concerned with surrounding himself with people that can just systematically destroy what exists and turn it into something he likes and make him, you know, kick God off the throne and put him on the throne.
Well, and you know, maybe stupidity and evil are the same thing. Maybe stupidity is thinking that you are the one who deserves the power, which we tend to think of as evil. But it's stupid because it ruins everything. Do you really want to be that powerful over a pot of crap, right? I mean, that's what socialism is. We're all equally poor. Is that really what these people want? Because I think what they think is that if they have the reins of power, then everything will be great. So maybe evilness or that libido dominandi is stupidity.
I just sent you a list of quotes on stupidity. Let's read some of these. Albert Einstein said, the two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the universe.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. It's really great.
You know, this one, Alexander Hamilton, I hate this one. I've heard this quoted a lot in AA meetings. He who stands for nothing will fall for anything, which is a very Hamiltonian quote because it encourages you to stand for things that are wrong. Like, well, you got to have a creed. You got to do something. I'm serving my country by pointing guns at people, you know? Yeah.
All right. What else do we got?
I'll take crazy over stupid anyway. Joss Whedon. Isn't he the guy that created Firefly?
Firefly, yeah. Serenity, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, and he did, I have this in my Netflix queue, he did a modern version of the Shakespeare play Much Ado About Nothing, which has the malapropizing stupid cop. So I want to check malaproping stupid cop.
Officer Dogberry?
Yeah. I want to check
Dingleberry
that out.
Dingleberry Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dingleberry Dog.
George Carlin says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you're saying here. Napoleon Bonaparte. In politics, stupidity is not a handicap.
I want to point something out about our audio. We still have that little hum, which is a hardware issue that I can't get rid of right now. But people may notice that there's less latency between Neem and I. Like the last couple casts we did with the cactus, we had our latency set at 150, which in two directions is 300 milliseconds. That's a third of a second. It kind of makes Neem sound a little bit stupid because it makes him pause more, sound like he's pausing more before he laughs at my great jokes. And we have it down to like 25 milliseconds in each direction now. So it should be a little more immediate sounding.
I'll try to see more in the future too, so yeah. I'll try to think ahead to what you're saying.
You can just start laughing whenever I start talking and just go, that's great, no matter what I say.
Yeah. This is kind of related to the corollary to Occam's razor we were talking about.
The Heinlein quote?
Last guess. The Heinlein one, yes. Heinlein says, you have attributed conditions to villainy that simply result from stupidity.
The best quotes here are from libertarians. He's a libertarian, and so more or less so was George Carlin. George Carlin was really anti-voting in a time when nobody was anti-voting.
Yeah, yeah. In a really great way. And he's really awesome and hilarious. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I think he gets things wrong, but when he's right, he's so right. And Harlan, he says it so concisely.
Harlan Ellison, who I believe was a screenwriter on Star Trek, the original TV show, says the two most common elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. Man, these go on and on and on. I want to read all the good ones. Mary wished she said something. Let's see. Stupidity is the same as evil if you judge by the results. Margaret Atwood.
Okay. So yeah, maybe that's the synthesis we're getting to here. Stupidity and evil are the same thing.
I like Frank Zappa's response to Harlan Ellison's one. He said, there is more stupidity than hydrogen in the universe, and it has a longer shelf life. I'd say a longer half-life. A longer. Yeah.
Now, okay, so what is stupidity there? We haven't defined our terms here. So
well,
where
I think
should
that
we draw our...
I'm sure there are a lot of statists who have these as their sig line on their email, some of these, and don't understand that they're stupid because they are smart, they are educated, they are experts in things that are wrong, and they're like, yeah, stupidity, like the Republicans, it's all their fault, and if we got rid of them, the world would be up. We're just three Republican... It's getting voted out away from perfection.
Okay. So, according to Wiki, stupidity is a lack of intelligence, understanding, reason, wit, or sense. It may be innate, assumed, or reactive. Being stupid with grief as a defense against psychological trauma. A state marked with grief despair, making even simple daily tasks a hardship. Huh. All right. So, I think that first part was where the nut is.
We read all the stupid quotes. I went through the rest of them. There's no more that, you know, there's no more that agree with what we're saying, so we don't need to read them.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess in another way I find stupidity and evil to be similar or the same thing is I feel they both arise out of sort of selfishness. I may be getting the word wrong there, but I feel like both stupidity and evil is only caring about laziness. Maybe it's not because to be stupid in this day and age, I feel like you really have to be negligent in life because there's so much information everywhere all the time. So to really be stupid. It seems almost like a hard thing to do. So why is it so common?
There's actually more free speech now than there's ever been. There's a lot of tyranny, but there's more free speech now than there's ever been. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. We have tons of notes about particular tyrannies, but I don't even know if we need to touch on them today. I mean, really, that is just, it's kind of like in an AA meeting when the speaker, you know, the person who's talking for 20 or 30 minutes and telling their story, a good share, they tell you a little bit about how bad they were, basically to get you to relate, but they don't do a drunkalogue. They don't talk about every hotel they vomited in, everything they did wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not recovery. Basically, a lot of people, even people with time sober, don't always get what a good share is. And a good share, they think that telling a lot of drunk and drug stories that are amusing and entertaining is the point of a share. It's not. And a lot of them will they think that's the point of a share, and they will heavily weight their share with drunkalogue. That's not the point. The point of a drunk of that part of a share, the what it was like part before the what happened and the what it's like now part, the three-act format with the redemption and third act, the purpose of that first part is really simple. It's only to get the guy who's really new, sitting in the chair, who doesn't know if he should be there, to understand these people are my peers. Because someone coming into recovery is used to people talking down to them. Judges, priests, siblings, parents, spouses, looking down at them, pointing a superior Catholic finger and saying, why can't you be like other people? When they don't understand it's a disease and they think it's a moral failing. But you go into AA and the people are like, hey, I'm like you. They're sitting across a table, sharing coffee with you, talking to you as a peer. And that's what the Drunkalog is about. And I really feel like a lot of Liberty Media is all Drunkalog. You know, I mean, there's a new thing out called the Liberty Moment with the Liberty Moment with John Bush. And John Bush is a good
guy. But it's really the tyranny moment.
It's the tyranny moment. There is no liberty in it. It's just a list of what the state did to people that day or that week.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to get away from this forever. And it's like we make all these notes for, and they're helpful to us because they kind of tune the whole thing. But why would we want to talk about the individual tyranny? You can find that everywhere else. We want to talk about the solution, or at least the underlying problem that's bigger than the symptom, which is the daily little bits, you know?
Right, right. That's so true. And as far as with getting people to identify, is, you know, we
that's
don't want to be holier than thou.
At
least I don't want to be holier than thou. I've aggressed on people, and I don't know if there's anybody in the world who never has. You know, we've all been there, and we've all
Jesus.
At some point not
you know, Jesus.
Understood.
I mean, that's what Christians say. Okay. Jesus never he
Jesus.
Was without sin.
He's the only person.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But none of us, you know, if you're into Christian theology or not, you know, none of us have lived that perfect life. Unless you're a Christian, then you think Jesus have. But Jesus is not a human, right? He's the Son of God or something. So, you know, I think it's important to let people know, hey, you know, we've been there too. And if you're there right now, if you're calling for the government to ban gay marriage or the government to enforce people to give gay people certain rights that other people don't have, you know, if you're
legal
on either
rights.
Side of the spectrum.
Legal rights.
Did I say lethal rights?
Legal, no.
Legal rights. You said rights. Those aren't really rights.
Oh, right, right. Okay, good point. You know, we've all been there. And so it's important to say, hey, you know, there's another way. If you want to be a non-aggressive person, if you want to really be able to see things from outside of the left-right paradigm or outside of the status dichotomy, you can do that. You know, it's not like we're special in some way. We just we listened and learned, and we got to where we are. And so, yeah, man, I think it's okay. And you saying that, hey, I wrote a paper in high school that said, you know, the government should keep people from having babies or sterilize them.
That's my Drunkalog. I'm saying I used to be a statist. And now I'm not. And I don't need to go into details about all of it. I mean, that's pretty severe right there. I was, you know, I would have, at that point in my life, I would have loved it if the teacher had nominated that for some national competition and I'd won and got to go to Washington, D.C. and shake the president's hand and have him praise me for that and pass it on to one of his advisors to try to implement it. That would have been like the pinnacle of my life, man.
Right. But one of the things that's important about you saying that is then somebody who is a statist or maybe is a confused proto-libertarian or on the fence can realize, hey, these people aren't going to judge me here, you know, because they were once what I am now.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing, which is the same concept, I think, in AA. So I see how that can definitely translate.
We're not just an audio teaching hospital. We're a teaching hospital, and we will, you know, do the brain surgery on ourselves and let you help even if you just walked in the door and haven't washed your hands yet. Let's go play some music and then come back and read some praise of the fiends and talk about some other stuff.
Okay, what kind of music do we want to play?
Something different.
Do I play music still? I thought you told me not to play music anymore.
I was gonna, but I don't have the cables to do it. We're one cable away from perfection. Oh, I have to order another cable. I forgot. But go ahead and play. And you can go to Creamy Radio Audio and read about all the gear we got. We don't need to talk about it on here. We'd rather talk about what's wrong with everyone except us. So something that's not hip hop.
How about
what do you got?
Oh, not hip hop. I was going to play some Kendrick Lamar. But Kendrick Lamar is really awesome. But if you want to play not hip hop, I don't know. What do you want to play that's not hip hop? Some Bomb?
Yeah, don't play other people's stuff. Play my stuff. Yeah, read off some Bomb titles. Let's get a longer Bomb song. How about Smile and Pose? Do you have Smile and Pose?
I don't have it. Maybe it's on YouTube, though. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. Smile and Pose. I will look for
Bomb.
It.
Smile and Pose. It's longish and insane. Yeah.
Bomb. Smile and Pose.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's about 7 or 8 minutes.
I got it as... Oh, okay.
And
I got it as 4 minutes and 35 seconds, but that's good enough, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Mommy,
help me sound check it because it's YouTube, so it might be quieter than our normal stuff.
All right. All right. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Going all the way back to
1987.
That was bomb.
That was bomb.
With Smile and Pose.
Smile and Pose.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Love The Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread The Fiends' message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like The Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Ooh, sorry about that. You could always turn my channel down, though.
You're fine. One Bitcoin. Right? No, because then it won't go out. I don't know. So read some of this praise. Let's read some praise of Freedom Fiends. We got Michigan escapee said about creamy radio audio. LOL, can't believe your web URL for this. Oh, well, could be worse. Could be buttery smooth audio. Audio so good that other podcasters will be jealous, beat you up, and steal your lunch money.
Nice. All right. Let's see. Rick on Twitter. New gear sounds so good, we can guess what brand of lighter you use. Wyoming, home of big gay bison.
I use a cheap lighter because I spent all the money on creamy radio audio gear. And then there's
one of those anarchy zippos like Lou Rockwell and Frank Fiend.
Then there's an interesting stupid insult that has a passive aggressive praise in it on YouTube. Karen DF said, go ahead and read this, about the Guns and Weed
Wow.
movie.
Okay, I'm going to use my girly liberal voice. Wow, I'm on part 9, and I'm amazed at the quality of Koch/Tea Party-sponsored propaganda exhibited here. Can't wait to watch the rest. As companion films, you should also watch The Billionaire's Tea Party, also available on YouTube. And then hop on over to alexspose.org to see how you're being duped by the same right-wing billionaires who crashed our economy. Nice job, baggers.
It's so wrong.
Wow. Karen Diff, yeah, I wish Koch gave us a bunch of money to make guns and weed.
We hate Koch and the Tea Party.
Or Koch Brothers, sorry. Koch Brothers. I like to call them Koch because that's Koch. A joke in hip-hop that when your album flops, you're going to be on Koch because it's a lower-tier record label. Koch.
Well, there was a Mayor Koch in New York City who... for decades when I was younger, he was the emperor of New York City and kind of paved the way for the Cuomo,
Bloomberg.
The Cuomo sexuals and the Bloomiebergs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stupid quotes like we were earlier, did you hear Bloomberg's recent thing, which I sent to you and you're like, well, obviously he thinks that. But they haven't said it this way in a while, at least. Bloomberg said, I do think there are certain times we should infringe on your freedom.
Yeah, and my
That's
comment
literally
was
what he
like,
said out of his mouth.
My comment was, of course he'd say that, which, you know, not that I won't talk about this, but I mean, imagine that. Statist idiot says I should be able to tell you what to do. Why is that even news? But, you know,
because it's how honest it is. You know, usually
there you go.
When they're saying they should take your freedoms, they're a lot more newspeak about it. They're like, well, yeah. I think we should maximize health for our kids is how they would have said it a year ago or something, you know, something very much government newspeak. And this is just, yeah, you know, I think there's some times you don't get freedom anymore. That's what he's saying.
And Sotomayor kind of did the same thing, basically saying, yeah, laws suck. They screw everybody. Get used to it. Accept it. And the FBI the FBI recently said we need to be able to tap into everybody's online chats without a warrant. And I'm like, yeah.
Ooh.
In Gmail and everything else where people are too stupid to use Pigeon. Pigeon's not that hard, it's man. Like, Pigeon, people should use Pigeon.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I said, you know, Bloomberg, nobody would have said this thing that Bloomberg said in the past few years. But back to what you teased earlier, you know, there's a lot more free speech nowadays, and government used to be pretty more tyrannical in a lot of ways than it is now. In World War I, in World War II, Abraham Lincoln, we've gone on and on about before, but yeah, man, I mean, if you think that there's some straight line of tyranny that keeps going up, it's more of kind of an up and down or a pendulum thing. I guess we just know more about all the horrible things. More people know about the horrible tyranny the state does. And so it's a light shined into the dank, mold-filled crevice that is the state.
Yeah, they were really blatant about it in World War II. I mean, they called... the concentration camps for the Japanese concentration camps, and that was before Hitler's concentration camps. The image that we're using today for the cast is a World War II propaganda poster that was hung up all over America at taxpayer expense in 1943, and it says, censored. Let's censor our conversation about the war. And it has a picture of a letter from Private John Doe to Mrs. John Doe, 1000 Silence Street, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Really?
And where the stamp the stamp should be, it says free. Like, we're paying for this, but we're going to censor it. And then it says examined by number 42 on the side. Like, a censor has gone through this letter.
You're a number. Yeah.
And it actually says, let's censor our conversation about the war. And the, you know, the idea they were saying was spies might read your mail and learn about troop movements. But this wasn't just directed at soldiers. This was directed at everybody. And basically it says, let's censor our conversation about the war. And it's from the WPA War Services of Louisiana. And it's basically saying, don't badmouth the war. And in World War I, you'd go to prison for badmouthing the war. Talk about that a little bit.
Right. And I think the language in what I'm pretty sure was the Espionage Act. I might be wrong. But part of the language was...
or the Alien and Sedition Act. Alien and Sedition Act covered it too.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one this language was in. But there was the concept that you can't do anything that would discourage enlistment. So if you said something that could conceivably be construed as somebody would hear that and be like, oh, well, crap, I don't want to enlist then you could be thrown in prison for something like 10 years.
Yeah.
So you say something like, you know, war is hell, something as common as that, which it obviously is. It is a fact.
And a lot of patriotic soldiers would say that. You know, that wasn't an anti-war sentiment. That was something people coming back would say, kind of bragging, but they could go to jail for it.
Right. And of course, it's not going to be enforced in any kind of fair or universal manner. I mean, they're not going to throw Patton in jail for 10 years for talking about his men who died that day.
He did say war is hell.
Exactly. But they're going to use it on somebody that they don't like for some other reason, you know, and say, you said this and this, you know, you quoted a statistic about how many American soldiers died last week, and that could discourage enlistment. So because you're competing with my best friend for this contract, I'm going to go ahead and throw you in jail now.
Mark has a good point. Back then it was censoring, and now it's praising everything bad and making any opposition sound crazy. Like, they use the word crazy all the time. Like, Chris Matthews, if we were on Chris Matthews, he'd call us crazy. He'd say, these are crazy. You're an anarchist. You believe in chaos and violence, and anarchy leads to chaos and violence, and you're crazy to want to embrace it or think it does otherwise. He wouldn't even be that cogent about it. But
I mean, I guess that's sort of what would happen, right? I mean, it seems obvious that because there's so many more people out there, that the access to getting information out there is so much lower. There's a lower threshold on telling people things. Somebody can type something, it can go viral, and a million people can see it. You know, just some schmuck in his mom's basement.
Yeah.
So there's no way for them to throw everybody in jail who says something they don't like. So yeah, calling people crazy, I guess, is the new censorship.
And treating them as crazy, like, you know, institutionalizing them or taking their guns away for nonviolent people, basically for criticizing the government. Or there's not blacklisting like there was back in the day where, you know, if you said something about social justice or communism, which is weird because, like, back, you know, FDR was basically a socialist, which is a matter of degrees to communism. But if you said anything in favor of communism, you would be arrested or at least blackballed to where you couldn't work, you know, at least in Hollywood or in the government. And now Obama had people who were openly communist back in their day, like Van Jones. And Van Jones, for what it's worth, is really anti-war and anti-Obama being pro-war now and vocal about it, which is kind of bizarre. But he also got fired.
Well, he was tweeting about how much he loved Rand Paul's filibuster.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, even the commies like Rand Paul. I want to talk a bit about this guy who was kind of like somewhere between the Alex Jones of the 1930s and the Bill O'Reilly of the 1930s. People think that a lot of these concepts were new, but there was a guy named Father Charles Conflin. He was a Catholic priest, and he had a radio show that had 30 million listeners. I mean, he had more listeners than, you know, Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh combined. Rush Limbaugh has like 14 million listeners. This guy, and that was back when not that many people had radios. So he was the guy. He started by buying ad space and talking, and then was picked up by CBS and a bunch of other people. And eventually the government and the Catholic Church came in and silenced him. And he was pretty horrible. He said, the New Deal is Christ's deal. And he started, let's see, at the peak of its show, in early 1930s, Coughlin's show was phenomenally popular. It received 80,000 letters a week, and that's not emails, that's letters. Sheldon Marcus says that the size of Father Coughlin's radio audience is impossible to determine, but estimates range up to 30 million per week. Coughlin expressed an isolationist and conspiratorial viewpoint that resonated with many listeners. I mean, that sounds like Fox News.
Well, and those listenership numbers, I mean, back then in what was this, the 20s and the 30s? Like,
yeah,
the whole population
20s, early 30s.
Of the United States was like 100 to 120 million between 1920 and 1930.
And a lot of them were homeless.
30 million people, that's a large chunk. Like, if it was in 1920 when the population, according to the census, was like 100 million, I mean, literally, that's almost a third of people.
Basically, he was getting the same market share for every show that the president gets when he does a State of the Union speech, which is like the highest rated thing ever now. Let's see. After the 36 election, he increasingly expressed sympathy for the fascist governments of Hitler and Mussolini as an antidote to communism. He claimed that Jewish bankers were behind the Russian Revolution, which sounds like a lot of people out there now. You know, damn, it's the Jews that control the world. And we actually got a comment on the site, which I censored, because it's our site and we own it. I'm not squashing anyone's free speech, but someone commented on my 30 pieces of gold post, basically agreeing with it, but saying, you know, the world's gone crazy. That's what happens when you have the Jews in power, rampant communism. That was the whole thing. And I don't know if the guy's a Nazi or not, but it kind of sounded Nazi to me, and it sounded nutty. And you were like, well, you know, Michael, you should have approved the comment, and then we could discuss it rationally. And I'm like, discuss rationally with a Nazi. Okay, Nazis are the epitome that everyone uses of the non-rational using violence to solve their problems, even people who use violence to solve
it's
their problems.
Right, but it's our site, so what I was thinking you could do, and this would help us maybe in the future if when the SPLC tries to say that we're racist or anti-Semitic, is you or another admin says, that's ridiculous, we don't approve of racist comments on the site, and then if he comes back with something else, then you delete the new comment.
Okay,
so there's a record there.
Two flaws with that. One is, I'm not going to appeal to logic preemptively to get the SPLC to try to go, oh, these guys are okay. They're not going to do it. They go after anybody who doesn't love the, you know, rampant communism in America. And the real thing, I don't care about them. I mean, we're not, they don't notice us yet. I want them to notice us. And
you want them to notice us. Okay. Well, then you should have left it.
I don't want to have logical conversations with Nazis. Here's why. Those people go around posting that stuff on every site they can. They do it all day, every day. A lot of them do. And I don't think they keep track of it. I think if you don't approve it, they just go on to the next thing. And if you do approve it, they come back and talk and talk and talk. And Nazis, there's some Nazis that killed a talk radio host that they disagreed with. I don't know how much you know about that, but Alan Berg, and we are about to be talk radio hosts. He was a talk radio host in Denver. He was Jewish, but my experience with Nazis and Ben's experience with Nazis is if you don't agree with them, they will call you a secret Jew and threaten violence. That happens. And I guess I'm speaking collectively. They're probably not all like that, but it is collective thought, so why not paint them with a collective brush? I don't want to have a spirited discussion of logic with Nazis, man.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. I guess I don't understand what they hope to gain either, Nazi trolls saying stuff like that. Like, are there ever people that just get a light bulb in their head that clicks and they're like, oh yeah, it is all the Jews' fault? Like, does that happen?
Well, again, I think it's painting the problems of the world with one solution brush, and that doesn't work, and it's inaccurate unless the solution is the non-aggression principle, is the non-violent solution. You know, every solution that involves governments doing something, which, you know, Nazism does involve, are immoral. Everything from Democrats to Republicans to Nazis. And I know that the ADL is going after people who use the word Nazism in political discussions of current American politics and say, you can't do that. You know, that's not fair. Mm. You can't do that. Although they do it all the time to Republicans. But I say they're all the same. It's just a matter of degrees. And, you know, if the ADL wants to come right. after me, they're the ADL, the SPLC, all those people. You know, I mean, I agree with those people on a lot of things. I think that it's really wrong to judge people by the color of their skin, their, you know, nation of origin, their whatever they believe. I mean, I will judge. I guess it gets into some sticky situations of saying you don't like Zionism, but I don't like any nation treading on other people in the sake in with a brush of we have a right to exist, you know, F your right to exist, which is what Israel does. And the only reason I'm upset about Israel more than a lot of other countries is it has a lot more influence on American military policy. You know, I mean, what is said in the Knesset, you know, determines American troop movements and deployments and murdering of brown children.
Yeah. Yeah. Well put. Well said. Definitely. But again, that has nothing to do with the fact that they are Jewish ethnically yeah. or religiously. It has everything to do with their state and the state of their state and their reliance on aggression to solve their problems. And that can poison the whole well. And maybe that's that it's the vicious cycle of stupidity and statism breeding each other constantly. But there was a really disgusting, I guess, blog post. It was a good blog post, but it was about something disgusting. There was a picture somebody had posted of these four teenage boys, and they're Palestinian, but they're pretty Western looking. Like, they were wearing t-shirts, they had clean cut hair, they looked like they could be, you know, on the football team in Nebraska or something. Well, maybe not Nebraska, maybe somewhere closer south. And there's a picture of them on a tent at this site that the Israelis were going to build a settlement on. And they were, you know, just camping out there as a protest, you know, a nonviolent protest. Let's camp here for the night to say, hey, this is where people should camp and not where you should bulldoze our land with your tanks. And the blog post was about the comments on a Facebook site that somebody had posted this on. And they were like, run them over, burn them to death, cut off their balls. These little teenage kids, you know, 14-year-old kids that look like your cousin or anybody's cousin. That's what these people are saying in support of the state in Israel is cut off the balls of teenage kids, run them over with a tank, burn them alive.
What's wrong with people, man? You know, that's what people this, are. That's people what the state are does. So effed up, man. I hate it. Talk about the Texas hates guns poster you saw.
Oh, yeah. So another court story. Well, it wasn't really the real court. It's what I like to call the courtroom express. You know, when you're at the airport and they don't have a real Taco Bell, they have the Taco Bell Express. Here in Austin, we have some courtroom express where you can go and talk to the clerks or the human shields, as I like to call them. And you can pay your fine early. They make it really easy to do that. It's really easy to just give them your money. But you can also request an appearance with the prosecutor, you know, a docket appearance, or even a court date, which I was going there request an audience.
Please let me go beg my case in front of people who have ultimate power over me. We're not saying you shouldn't do it, exactly. But that's your only recourse. You know, it's pay them money or go in and say, please, sir, I didn't mean it, or, you know, or the cop lied, which is what you're going to say. The cop did lie.
Yeah, he did. He did. I'm there at the Courtroom Express doing my thing, and, you know, courtrooms are really oppressive, and even courtroom expresses and the propaganda on the thing, and even cop shops are like this. That was one of the things I did hate about my reporting job, was daily going into cop shops and courts and just seeing the propaganda on the walls about snitching on your neighbor for growing pot and such. But here was a particularly egregious one, and maybe you should put it in the show notes, a little JPEG of this, but there was a poster. It's got these images that are supposed to be evocative. They're images that are supposed to remind you of prison if you've ever been, or anybody's seen, you know, cop shows and prison shows on TV. So you know these images. And one of them is, you know, barbed wire. And the bottom one, the one that's in the position to be most powerful next to the text, is soap dropped on a drain in the shower. It's a drop the soap picture on this government poster. And then the text is, what exactly do you miss about prison? and then it says drop the gun. So basically they're saying stay disarmed or you will get butt raped. You know, everybody knows what dropping the soap means. They have no plausible deniability here. You show a picture of drop the soap and a picture of the soap on the ground and tell people to not carry guns or else you know what it means to drop the soap. Yeah. That's just insane. It's get raped is what they're saying. We will get you.
We
raped
will rape you. Yeah, basically. Yeah. And you know, who's that? That's basically aimed at probably the most people have been arrested that can't carry guns.
Parolees or from drug, on adult probation.
You know, non-violent drug offenders.
Right, right. And okay, here's another thing to think about. People who have a felony, even for a non-violent thing like a drug conviction or whatever, or insider trading or whatever the case is, you have to check the felony box in a job application. You're not going to be very economically viable. You're probably going to have to live in a poorer section of town, a more crime-prone section of town. You're going to need a gun more than the people who have a clean record and have always sucked the stick of the state and live in the suburbs with their Volkswagens. You're going to need a gun. You know, because you're going to be walking and riding the bus and taking the subway and such.
That's so square,
it just
man.
Made me really disgusted. And the whole concept of people just ignore the idea that guns are a self-defense measure. Like, it never crosses their mind. And I guess that's the stupidity, is the lack of intelligence and knowledge about what a gun is used for. There's so much of that. And I guess I just don't understand why some people feel safer without guns, with no guns in the situation. Well, why do you feel safer?
I don't.
You used to think only cops should have guns. What made you think that would be a good
idea? I was a really lazy Democrat. I didn't really have explanations, and if pressed for them, I could have been turned into a minarchist in about 10 minutes, but there was nobody in San Francisco to do it.
right.
Yeah.
You were a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Texas says, carry a gun, get raped, would have been my caption for this image. And, you know, it's not just Texas. I remember a very similar poster in the Wyoming, the Casper Police Department's office. It didn't go this far graphically. Like, it didn't have a drop the soap thing. But it was the same concept of, remember, now that you are one of our victims, you have to remain disarmed. You no longer get to defend yourself. You are no longer a citizen in any sense of the word. You are forever a subject and a slave.
Yeah. I just posted a great picture in the chat room of Fuzzy Long Cat. You should check it out. It's kind of nice here, you know, by probably like 58 degrees or something, sunny, no wind. And I have the front door open, and the front door is locked, but it has the top of it is open with a, what do you call this thing? Screen. And Fuzzy is standing on his back legs, looking out the window, trying to sniff way above him at that screen. And he looks like a very long cat. Fuzzy long cat. Aww. Fuzzy love me long cat.
He's not that big of a cat though, right? He's mostly hair.
Yeah.
I guess the length wouldn't make a difference.
Someone asked if our kitties...
How much does Fuzzy weigh?
Someone asked if our kitties are the outdoor type. Only Charlie. Charlie has supervised fun in the backyard daily, regardless of the weather, in our fenced-in backyard. I supervise her by looking out the window and having a gun nearby, so if any, you know, interlopers climb over the fence, you know, like raccoons or whatever, I can protect her, because she's old. But the other two have been outside twice, and they hated it. And it was in the winter when they first got here. There's a video of that. Let me find that. Three snow pussies pop their snow cherry or whatever.
Three pussies. Yeah, I remember that.
Pop their...
Now, Charlie, though, is old enough to where when you have supervised fun time, it's not like she goes out on the town. She stays in the backyard because she's too old to climb the fence anymore.
Right, right. And occasionally, there is a neighborhood cat that will climb over the fence. Only if I put food in the backyard, which I don't do anymore because of this. If I, you know, sometimes because she wants to come in and out every hour or so, and I get sick of playing cat doorman. She comes in, she poops out there, but she comes in to eat and drink water. And I got sick of doing it. So for a while I was putting her out there all day in the summer with me, you know, sitting at my computer, watching her out the window on and off. And I would put a little plate of food out there and a little plate of water. And the neighborhood outdoor cat. He's not stray. He has a home. You can tell he's well fed and well taken care of. But the big orange cat will climb over the fence and try to get the food, and Charlie will scrap with the cat. And Charlie's too old to scrap. Charlie's 13. Mm-hmm. The other day we were cooking steak, and it was like winter. It was snowing, and we had the kitchen window open because, you know, it was the steak will set off the fire alarm when you cook it right.
Right, right.
And that neighborhood cat must have smelled it because he was in our yard skulking around going, how do I get me some?
Right, right.
Yeah.
My wife's of the opinion that you shouldn't have inside-outside cats and inside only cats, because the inside outside cats will bring in diseases and such to your inside only cats.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet. Really, the only thing we had in LA was fleas from having an indoor outdoor cat, and there really aren't fleas in Wyoming. It's too cold.
Yeah, there's pretty much nothing alive except for bunnies outside of Wyoming when it's cold.
Yeah, and Charlie can
bunnies and antelope.
Charlie can deal with the bunnies, and the antelope don't come over here. Deer do once in a while. I took some pictures and put them on Facebook about a year ago of three deer in my neighbor's yard. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like 6 a.m.
Yeah. We're still discussing what to do with our feral / couch living cat we call Squatter, because he's squatted and homesteaded our balcony as his own. Because we're going to move. We're hopefully going to get a house, a rental house, in the summertime when our lease is up here, because we're sick of paying $1,200 a month for what looks like a nice apartment but has horrible problems like backflow in the bathtubs. Like our bathtub
and
will fill up with brown water
gangsters at the pool.
At the pool.
And you
steal people's bikes.
And you need to have your own room for podcatting that's not a closet in your marital bedroom, because you need to be able to do things with me in the middle of the night. Ooh, that sounds nasty. You know, you need to be able to do audio with me in the middle of the night, or do some DJing in the middle of the night without having to tiptoe to do it, even with headphones, you know, and wake your wife up. So you need your own room.
I really do. Yeah, even if it's not me and you, which it would be wonderful to be able to be loud with you or podcast or do a pre-recording at night. That would be so great. Or to be able to rap at
night. I think we should do, I mean, the thing is with radio, we have to be striped, which basically means the times we've picked, which I think are going to be noon to 2 Saturday and Sunday Central Time. That's going to be when our show is going to start, when it starts. You have to stripe it, which basically means if you add days when it gets more popular, you have to add them at the same time.
It has to be the same time.
It has to be a stripe across the that's how radio's done. But I was thinking, if we get really kick-ass and popular, since I've got so much free time on my hands, if we're really popular, I was thinking we start another one in the middle of the night that can be done by either you or me with a different guest, and a lot of times it'd be Ben Quaker. Because I'm up. I'm so up in the middle of the night, man. I would love to be able to do a show in the middle of the night, but it's not going to be the Fiends. But I'm thinking we're going to take over talk radio so much that we could have, you know, if we're doing seven days a week on the Fiends.
Different show.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could do a live gumbo. We could move the gumbo to radio and do a live version of that.
Everybody would have to get Audio Catalyst.
I mean, that's basically
though.
What that would be. Right?
Everybody
would
have to get Audio Catalyst, man. I'm not
Audio gonna, Catalyst. Audio I love how we're changing it even
now,
more.
There was a program called Audio Catalyst.
It went from Compass to Cactus to Catalyst. That's
I always
great.
Call it Catalyst. Audio Catalyst was what was the first MP3 making program that I used in 1996. And I used it until we got Lame Drop about a year ago, which sounds better. But Audio Cactus. We would have to get people to get Audio Cactus, because I am not going to do, you know, a radio show with somebody who's calling in on a telephone or Skype. Although Skype is going to be adding the Opus codec soon, so Skype may sound a lot better in a few months, and then people wouldn't have to get Audio
we'll
Compass.
See.
And there's a guy calling in this Sunday. Christian Sanger is going to call in and try this new, like, really high quality, he says, $30 microphone. That's for like iPods or something, but can be used with a computer. So I want to see how that sounds. That could be good. Yeah, because he's the guy. Well, we met him because he called in using a $17 mic that sounded great. So, you know.
Right. Hey, if the new one works, then I literally could record, or not record, but cast maybe live with you while I'm out and about or something with the Android phone.
Maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
Because you'd always wanted to do that.
I always have. But, you know, it's still going to be Skype quality unless Skype gets a lot better. There is an Audio Compass coming out for iPhones, but and there's also there's something from Comrex for iPhones, but it's really expensive. You know what I'd love to be able to do is have you use a $30 mic and Skype and do good casts while you're, because we could record non-live casts while you're working. I mean, you have to put me in your pocket a lot when you go in to deliver something, or you have to get off the phone and call. But we have conversations often. I mean, we talk more now that you're working than when you weren't, because we can talk while you're working. And
that's true.
You know, we'll talk. I mean, it takes me 3 hours to have a two-hour conversation with you, because there's a lot of calling back and putting me on hold. But, you know, we could record a cast in that, and I could just edit out the breaks.
Right. But yeah, I was, before we got off on those awesome tangents, I was asking if you had any thoughts or advice on what to do with our cat Squatter, who's, we think he's some type of feral cat. He is neutered, but he has his ear clipped, like his ear has been cut in the top to signify that he, there's a bunch of feral cat groups or help groups in Austin that go around neutering feral cats so that they don't make more feral cats. And that's one of the signs that they've neutered the cat, is they'll clip its ear.
Yeah.
So he's had some interaction with that, and he's a bit more docile because he's neutered. He's, he'll actually come inside. My wife has been able to bring him inside and pet him a little bit. We've even closed the door on him and had him inside for about an hour. He'll go to the window and complain to be let out, though. And the wife, what she wants to do is domesticate him completely and bring him inside and close the door on him forever.
Well, I think that involves going to a vet with him, because that totally violates her sensible rule not indoor. I mean, that's
that goes
worse
without
than,
saying.
I mean, Charlie is not going to get diseases going into our fenced backyard that doesn't have any ticks or fleas.
Well, I never said that we weren't going to take it to a vet. I never implied that, and I never meant that at all.
I also
take the appropriate steps.
I don't know that a feral cat is. Hi, you've reached the cat hotline on freedomcats.com. I think that a feral cat may be really unhappy if you try to keep him in forever and spend its life looking out the window and going meow, and probably peeing everywhere because it wants to mark its territory to the other cats.
Yeah, that's what I worry about too. But he really likes the status quo right now. He spends literally all day on our couch, which is on our balcony. We have a couch on the balcony. Probably 18 hours a day he sits on that couch and licks himself. He comes to... There's multiple windows, right? So he comes to the sliding glass on the balcony and meows at us when he's hungry or thirsty. He'll also do that on our bedroom window, which is next to that. So he knows where we sleep at night, and he'll go in there and look in at us and meow and ask us for food. And when we
he follows us. He reminds me of when I was in a rock band and homeless, but like would show up at different chicks' houses when I wanted some sex and food and a place to stay.
Yeah. Well, he also follows us. Like he has some sense that he's related to our pack, or where he's part of the coalition of the willing. Because whenever I walk the dog, he literally will follow along. He'll rub up against trees and roll on the ground and purr. He'll rub up against the dog, Yukon, the giant wolf-looking dog,
trying to claim it as his own.
He's more skittish. Yeah, he's more skittish around people. Like I can let the dog approach him and he'll rub, but he won't let me get too close. I think maybe he's had some trauma with people, and I know the little neighborhood kids harass him, because one day he was next to the balcony and I heard some little kids go, "Oh, there's that stupid cat," and they threw a rock at him, and so I had to chastise those kids. But I think he's kind of traumatized around humans. But I don't know. I kind of felt hesitant for my wife's thoughts at domesticating him completely, but at the same time he does have some kind of connection, and I think he would be sad. Oh, he will be sad when we move.
What you really need is a farm for a cat like that.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing is, you can't move feral cats. They have their territory, and if they're going to remain outside cats, what they will do is they will try to go back to their home space and probably get run over on the journey.
Can't help you, man. I don't have much experience with feral cats. I mean, this sounds like a bad racist joke, but the only pack I've ever really dealt with was in back of a Thai restaurant in LA around the corner from my house. There was a pack of feral cats that, you know, ate the thrown away, you know, chunks cut off fish heads and stuff. But yeah. Mm. Yep, they were there. Let's take a little break and play a song. I know we don't usually do that, but okay. At this point, but we should. I have to eat.
All right. LA Times. They call it here after Wozniak says it's a real uphill battle about this email tax. The reporter says, but a battle worth waging. That's what the journalist wrote here. And then the next graph is Wozniak 59 suggested taxing email during a recent council meeting as the city went on record opposing the sale of the Berkeley main post office and urging the postal service to maintain all of its services here. Wait a minute.
So this guy
he calls himself a futurist, but he wants to tax email to subsidize the post office.
He wants to tax cars. He's like someone in 1908 taxing cars to keep horse and buggy whip manufacturers in business. That's not a good futurist, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what we call a conservative, people. He's a conservative.
So to all you listeners out there listening live, you're hearing something no one will hear because I just turned on the recorder a minute ago. I didn't record anything from the music break until now. Damn.
Oh, bummer. That was all good stuff. Damn.
Yeah. I got a letter from my sister, and it unnerved me and made me forget to be logical. Because she has that effect on me.
Would you like to share, Michael?
She's an Obama humper, man. Big time.
Do you think she would turn you in to the New York officials?
Yeah. She would if I still lived there.
Really?
Probably. Yep. Or she'd try to get me to get rid of my guns so she wouldn't have to turn me in. So this expert in things that are wrong, this so-called futurist who is a city council member in Berkeley who wants to tax email to save the post office.
Yes. Presumably Steve Wozniak's jealous brother, Gordon Wozniak.
I wondered about that. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look up Steve Wozniak.
Okay.
That would be really insane.
But yeah, Gordon Wozniak here, in case you're just getting to the recording, he's a Berkeley city councilman. The LA Times in their local piece wrote a thing about him here. It's basically praising his idea that we should tax, or not we should, that the government should tax email. The reporter calls him certified brainy. They call him a scientist who is a futurist and admits he may be ahead of his time about taxing email.
Which is something that Congress, like this was put into Congress as a bill in 1992 and was defeated. And you can always tell people new to the internet, this doesn't happen much anymore because almost everyone's on the internet, but there's a couple chain emails from like 92, 93, 94, 95 that are still like live in the wild and still getting forwarded. One is some cookie recipe scam thing, chainmail. And another is the subject line is something like, forward this to everyone you know, Congress trying to tax each email. And their thing, you know, the cookie thing is a scam and the email thing was defeated in Congress, you know, before it hit the floor basically in 92. When most people didn't know what email was, which is probably why it got defeated. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm afraid of that. I don't know what that is. But
Al Roker was on the Today Show going, what's this internet thing? What does that even mean? And what's that funny A with a circle around it? What is that?
Or maybe it got defeated. Yeah. Did he really say that? The circle A?
Yeah.
He did?
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it was Al Roker, but there was a bit on YouTube you can look up, and it's Al Roker and some other people on, I guess, the Today Show. Isn't that what Al Roker's on? Mm. And one of them, I'm not sure if it was Al or not, one of them goes, and what's that little A thing with the circle around it? Anyway, back to Mr. Gordon Wozniak. He brought this up basically when they were urging the Berkeley main post office to not close. So presumably he wants some of this email funding from this email tax to go to support and subsidize the old school post office. And so here's what he told the council. He said, there should be something like a bit tax, he said. I mean, a bit tax could be a cent per gigabit, and they would make probably billions of dollars a year. And there should be also a very tiny tax on email. Now, this sounds like something like some 10-year-old is saying in his government class, like when they're doing a discussion about ways to make the world better.
Or someone in Soviet Russia, you know.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Soviet Russia would have taxed
email. The reporter
email.
Goes, and then I guess this is still a quote. Oh, yeah, okay, so I think it's still quoting here. It goes, I don't know about taxing gigabits. I'm not even sure what they are.
Mm.
Wozniak is quoted here saying.
Shoulder thing that goes up.
I'm as familiar with as a nagging toothache. I spend way too much of my day, as do many workers who depend on computers, hitting the delete key, or even more time-consuming, routing spam into the junk file and trying to block the arrogant sender forever. Often, the email is in a foreign language that's all Greek to me, or it's spinning me on some Atlantic Coast congressional race that is of no interest whatsoever. I'm also not in the market for awnings or pet food or a tactical robot. Oh, really? I bet you are. And no, I really don't care about the Amway boycott or that the National Farmers Union endorses raw milk. So leave me alone and stop clogging my inbox. There are also the scam scum. No, I wasn't aware that I had just won the
raw milk thing. The raw milk thing. He's basically saying, I don't care that people are being shot for having raw milk in Berkeley. That's happened in Berkeley. Cops have raided raw milk places. But he doesn't care.
Well, okay. So he's making complaints. This sounds like it's a stand-up routine, basically. He's like, oh, what do you think of that email? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? This email thing. Yes, you're listing a bunch of things that are slightly annoying. It's an observation about something in the world that's
observational
annoying.
Observational city
come
council
on,
humor.
Man.
I mean, basically...
You're going to tax everybody because you don't like to organize yourself?
I get one spam a month or less. Because I use SpamArrest. Go to SpamArrest and sign up using the code. No, SpamArrest is great, man. I mean, it's kind of annoying, and people have to jump through a hoop once to write you if you've never written them, but to prove they're human. But yeah, SpamArrest is great, man.
Hell, Google does a great job of it.
Gmail.
For me.
Gmail. He's probably still using an AOL address or CompuServe. He's probably that out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And really, I mean, it's not that hard to look through it. I mean, here's the thing, old man. Don't click on every email. If something has a title that looks like spam or it's from somebody you don't know, there's a thing called the subject line. You can use that to decide whether or not you waste your time on it or not. I never delete anything. I have like 25,000 emails because things that I don't want to read, I just skip over and don't give them any time at all.
And I delete everything and then occasionally write you and say, hey, can you send me a copy of that email I sent you that I deleted? I need it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the same old man problem he's having. It's more of a young man problem of, I'm going to clean my room and throw everything out so I can be more efficient, and I'll never need this cable again. I'm sending it to Kofi, and then I have to buy the cable 2 months later. I like this comment from Tortellini on this thread. I sent an email to Skelton detailing the issues of this idea. It was fairly long but very legible. All I got was a response that said, anything this long definitely has to be taxed. So does he have an autoresponder? I mean, is that how he's dealing with the problem of old man-itis with email, is an autoresponder that says, your email's too long and should be taxed? Man, this guy's too stupid to breathe. I don't care if he's a nuclear scientist. He doesn't know anything about humanity or computers. He's too stupid to breathe, and he's telling people in Berkeley what to do. But that makes sense. People in Berkeley want to be told what to do. They want more government, even though, you know, going back to the 60s, they wanted more government and never got that more government meant more pepper spray and boots in their face.
Yeah, yeah. They won't get it. That's the stupidity, man. That's the root of it.
People are stupid, and I think we should play the outro and go be smart somewhere else.
Yeah. We're too smart for y'all.
Yeah.
We're just a little more progressive.
We're not too smart for the fiends. We're too smart for the rest of the world. So let's go dump this on the world, right, and they can deal with it by taxing
it. Some mad fiend science.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com. Worms.